We're all on the same page, amen? Here's what I'm going to do tonight. One time we went on a mission trip. Just me and David Barnes. We went, and man, I got sick. I got strep throat, flu, and something else. And David Barnes didn't get nothing. I told him, I said, if you're going with me in the morning, you better get up. I'm going to the doctor. I'm going home. Stopped by a doctor on the way home. They said, oh, you just got a rash. Went to Shannon. She said, you're an overachiever. You remember that day? He said, you're an overachiever. You got so much wrong with you, I can't tell you what's wrong. But before we left, I had to, they told me they wanted me to preach. But and here's what they said, Brother J.D. But what you got, we want you to give a devotion. I got David off to the side, and I said, I've never gave a devotion. What's a devotion? He said, whatever you do, don't give an altar call. You remember that? They said they wanted me to preach, but they just want me to do devotion style. I said, well, what is that? He said, I reckon just don't give an altar call and you'll be good. This morning we had, and we're going to go here in just a moment, but this morning we had water up here. You remember the water, and took the siphon hose and siphoned the water out. And you've seen that in your life. I've seen that in my life. I heard Brother Garrett speak a while ago a word, and he said if he didn't know if he'd go or not, if he would enjoy going, if you would have stayed back, Satan would have robbed your joy of going and experiencing what you experienced. So Satan's always throwing things our way. The lady that just sung the special, if she wouldn't have got up, Satan would have robbed that opportunity to witness about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's always opportunities. There's always joy that Satan's trying to rob, and he's trying to rob the word from our life. But this afternoon, I want to be very brief, but I just want to share this with you in Luke chapter number 4, and we're going to talk about one verse, verse number 1, and one little word there that's in that we read this morning, and that word's this, led, L-E-D, he was led by the Spirit. And I want to show you about being led by the Spirit. You can be led by yourself, you can be led by others, or you can be led by the Spirit of God. If you're a child of God in here tonight, you listen to me, you be led by the Spirit. I want you to know there's a lot of times I said, boy, I've got myself in trouble opening my mouth on that. But anytime I've been led by the Spirit of God, I've never got in trouble for it. As long as it's led by the Spirit, you can do what you need to do. Jesus here being our example. And what I want to share tonight is how to stay on track for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How you can stay on track for what God has called you to do in your life. As these kids went this weekend, they had a schedule they had to go by, and they had to stay on track. And I know there's a lot of times you hear me preach on Sunday night how important it is to come to the house of God on Sunday night. And you hear me this, and I expound on coming on Wednesday night. And you hear me expound that the door's open, you need to be here. And then you hear me say all kind of things. The reason I do that is because I know the Christian walk, and I know how important it is, but I know how easy it is to get off track. You can be on fire this week, next week you won't. There's people in that picture up there, Brother David. Brother Jerry Norris has gone on to be in heaven with the Lord. I understand that, Brother. Brother Gordon, I've seen him in the picture. He's gone on to be with the Lord. I understand that. And that's a process that we're all going to have to go through unless the Lord comes back and resurrects the church and raptures the church out. We don't have to die. We won't die. But if not, we're all going to die. And see, that's one way to leave, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what about the ones on the video that you seen that no longer go to church? Now, these just wasn't Sunday morningers now. I'm talking about the one, if you've been on a mission trip, you're not just a Sunday morninger. You done turned into a Sunday nighter. And now you done got to be a Wednesday nighter. And then you went to the mission trip. You went on a mission trip. But what happened? What happened? And that's what gets on my heart all the time. But what happened? What gets you out of church? What gets you out of being led by the Spirit? What gets you out of doing what God's called you? What hinders you? Paul said, I don't understand how you're so hindered from doing what you're supposed to do. And tonight, I want you to stay on track as your pastor. I want you to stay on track. You're going to hear me preach that until I go home or until I leave this church. You stay on track. Do not get off kilter. Do not get off track. You stay on track. You say, what good is that, preacher? It's going to be worth it all one day. One day when he pulls that veil back and he shows you, because you stayed on track, this individual got closer to the Lord, or this individual got saved because of what you've done staying on track, they seen Jesus in your life. So if I can give you anything tonight, stay on track. Stick with it. Just stick with the stuff. Amen. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 1, I ask you to stand. always want to reverence it. We're going to read one verse and we're going to go home. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Father, I love you and I thank you tonight. I thank you that we can stay on track. I thank you tonight that we are not Christians that are wandering around with no hope, with no purpose, with no vision, but the Holy Ghost from heaven. He is our guide tonight. He is who leads us tonight in the path of righteousness. He leads us the way we need to go. So I pray tonight for the next few moments, whoever it is tonight that needs to know how they can be led by the Spirit, I pray we see this in this text. We ask you for all things. We praise your name. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said. Now you may be seated for a few moments. I want you to get this. In Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. As we come here, I said this morning, he's been full of the Holy Ghost and he was coming from Jordan. You know what he had done at Jordan? He had done come to the age of 30 and he was fixing to be baptized. And you know what happened? He went, he seen his cousin John the Baptist. And he seen him, and when Jesus was coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus said, "I have needs that you baptize me." And you know what John the Baptist said? He said, "Hey, I ain't even worthy to unlash your shoelace. You need to take care of me." But he said, "Let it be so. It needs to be so." And you know what happened? If you look right back here in Luke chapter number 3 and verse number 21. Now when all the people were baptized, look here. It came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost, there it is, the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. You say, "What does this mean, preacher?" I understand that Satan, when Jesus was born, was trying to kill him. Herod wanted him killed. Herod wanted him gone. He didn't want another king. But I want you to know, when Jesus got to this place in his life, he got to this ministry in his life, and he was baptized, then Satan came upon him. When he came to that place, that he had come to that place that he was into the ministry and he was ready to go, then we see Satan come to where Jesus is at. I say to you tonight, when you get to where God, when you get saved, you get baptized, you get plugged in, you start living for Jesus, you start doing what God's called you to do, and the Holy Spirit's guiding you, you might as well go ahead and look up and understand what's going on. There is an attack from Satan. And he is going to attack you, and he is going to try to do everything in his power to zap all of the power out of your life. But tonight, I want to give you this. How do I know how to be led by the Spirit? Look what he says in verse number 1, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I know this tonight, that little word led. If I'm going to be led by the Spirit tonight, I must know my guide. I must know my guide. I must know that Holy Spirit. I must know that Holy Ghost. I must know the Holy Ghost tonight. I must have a relationship with him tonight. Do you know tonight that the Holy Ghost is not an it, it's a person tonight. And tonight you can talk to him. He intercedes for you and I. He takes it to Jesus through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it goes on to God. We pray in the Spirit. We utter out words in the Spirit this afternoon. And I want you to understand this. You must know your God. You must know that God that you can rely on him. Whatever you tell him, it won't get down the street. When you tell it to the Holy Ghost and you talk to the Holy Ghost, I want you to know he'll never point to himself. He'll never point to you. He'll always point to Jesus. Amen. If you're going to get to Jesus and you're going to get to where Jesus is, you'll have to go through the Spirit this afternoon. Amen. You've got to go through the Spirit. You've got to go that way. You've got to get in that Spirit realm. And he says tonight, I love this, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus knew his guide. He knew that that Spirit was not going to lead him into a place that he didn't need to be. He knew his guide. You know, I said this before and I'll say it again. There's a lot of people that you know, but you don't know them. There is. There's a lot of people you know, but you don't know them. And I say this all the time. Like Adrian Rogers, he's passed and went on now, and I listen to him a good bit. But, you know, and I know Adrian Rogers. I know he's with Love Worth Finding. I know he preached at Bellevue. I know he's from Florida. That's where his hometown was at. And I know that he had a great ministry. And I know that he died of cancer. But you know what? I do not know Adrian Rogers. If he was still alive and you went to him and said, "Do you know Brother B.J. Mills?" He'll say, "I don't have a clue who that is." I know a lot about him, but I don't know him. Do you understand that? I'm not talking about knowing about your God. I'm talking about knowing your God. When he speaks to you, you listen, you hear. If you're going to stay on track, you're going to have to know the difference when Satan is speaking in your ear and when the Holy Ghost is speaking in your ear. So how do you know, preacher? If something's on you and you can't get off, rebuke it in Jesus' name. If it leaves, it was Satan. And if it stays, it's the Holy Ghost. That's simple as I can get it right there. You rebuke it in Jesus' name. Get away from here. And if it flees, it was Satan. But if it stays, it's that old nitpicker. If it stays and it don't leave, it's that old nitpicker. He says tonight, I want you to get this. If we look right now, look what he says here in the text. Here, if you'll look with me, verse number 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain. You see, Jesus knew that the Holy Ghost had led him out in the wilderness, and he knew he was doing right what he needed to do. Not only will the Holy Ghost lead you, but Satan will lead you if you're not careful. Tonight, I want you to get this. You must know your God. You must know what your God's going to tell you and what you're going to do. When you hear from him, you listen to your God. If the Holy Spirit tells you to do something and you don't do it, you're being disobedient. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. So I must know my God tonight. I must know my God tonight. It's kind of like this right here. Not only must I know my God, but I must follow my God. It's one thing to know him, but following him. Following a God. Look what he says here in verse number 4. Lord Jesus answered him, saying, talking to the devil, it is written, not only do I know my God, but I follow my God. I follow what he tells me to do. Is it? And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You see, he not only he know his God, but he followed his God. This is your God here. Listen to me tonight. If this tells you don't do it, you can't do it. Amen? If this tells you it's wrong, it's wrong. Now, you can put it in your life, but you won't have no peace. Because why? Not only do you know your God, but you're not following him. You're not going with the way he said. And listen, if you're not going with him, you're going against him. And guess what? He lives inside of you. And when you start going against him, he's not going to go the way you go. There's going to be a tug of war going on the inside. There's going to be a pull on the inside. There's going to be a tug on the inside. Why? Because that's his job. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He said he'll lead you into all things. He'll comfort you. He'll help you in all areas of your life. Let me give you this tonight. If you'll turn right on over there in chapter number 4 and verse number 8, he says, this is what Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Not only do I know my God, but I follow my God. Not only I know him, but I follow him. You know what? The Holy Spirit has talked to me, and I have done some pretty, if in normal sense, off-the-wall things. But it's worked. I'm talking about some things, and here's the thing. If you know him, and you're going to follow him, there's going to be some times you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. If you stay here and you don't wait out and you don't go out to what he's told you to do, you'll never get what he's wanting to give you. I promise you that. I promise you. You say, well, man, I think God told me that. I know he's told me that. I know I need to do that, but man, that is, I don't know if I should or not. Look what he says in verse number 8, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. That's what I'm telling you. If it's of God, the Holy Spirit won't leave. But if it's of Satan and you rebuke him in Jesus' name, guess what? He's got to flee. There's one thing he can't do. He can't cross the bloodline. He can do a lot of things, but he can't cross the bloodline. He says, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So I see not only must I know my God, my God, not only must I get to the place that I follow him and everything he tells us to do. Me and Brandy was going to the doctor in Birmingham one time. And she had the GPS on. I knew where the hospital was, and she had it plugged in there, and it said, get off to the right and go down there and hang a left. I said, it won't never carry us there. She said, well, it says it's road work up ahead, and you need to get off. I said, it ain't going to work, though. Ain't no need getting off. It ain't going to work. She said, well, you told me to put it in. You want me to do it? Are you going to listen to it or not? I will, but it's wrong. We hung a right and went down away from where we were supposed to be. What was it doing? It was carrying me out of chaos. It was carrying me out of confusion. It was carrying me away. It was carrying me to a different place. This week, I was in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, Tuscumbia, Alabama, up in that area. And I walked around the corner, and this man come around the corner, and I looked up. I seen him. I said, man, I know that guy. I said, Brother Bob Pittman, what's going on, man? How are you doing? He said, I'm doing fine, sir. How are you doing? Got to talk to him for a minute. Who's that? He used to be over the men's conferences. I didn't know why God had me at that place at that time, but when I seen him, I knew why I was supposed to be there at that time. Have you ever said, I ain't got time to do that. I don't need to do that. I need to be here doing this. And God said, no, but I want you to go over here. Have you ever done that? You said, I ain't got time to go over here. And he says, oh, yes. It's one thing to know your God. It's one thing to follow your God. But it's something total different when you trust your God. I'm talking about you trust Him. You trust Him with everything that you have. And here's my question that God's impressed on my heart. If I trust Him with my salvation, right? And every one of us in this room is betting on heaven. Well, I hope you are. I'm betting on heaven, ain't you? I'm trusting Him with heaven. I know what He's told me in the book, to follow the Holy Spirit's lead. I'm following Him and I'm trusting Him that He's not going to lead me wrong. If I can trust Him with my salvation, can I trust Him? Can I not just trust Him with everything? When it don't look like it's going to, can I not trust Him? We have not because we ask not. That's what the Bible says. We have not because we don't trust Him. Have you ever been to that place in your life you said, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to come out. I don't know how it's going to work. I'll tell you something tonight, though, and I'm going to share this with you in honesty. If you'll tell the truth, it'll always work. If you'll follow your guide, it'll always work. If you'll trust your guide, it'll always work. The Holy Spirit has never led, listen to me, the Holy Spirit's never led me to anything that has hurt me. Never. Not one time has He led me to a place where it's hurt me. It's always helped me. And I want to show you this in closing. He says that we must trust that God. What He says in verse number 12, being led. And Jesus answering and said unto him, it is said. What was Jesus doing? He was trusting. He was trusting. Well, he didn't have to. Yeah, He did. When He left heaven, He put on humanity. If you don't believe He put on humanity, He couldn't be the Savior then. He had to know what it was to walk this life in sin. He had to put on humanity. If He didn't put on humanity, He couldn't die on the cross. He had to put that humanity on. And He shows us here, when He put that humanity on, He did what the Spirit called Him to do. He followed it. He knew it. And He trusted it. What He says, and Jesus answering said unto him, to Satan, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He said, I'm trusting it. I'm trusting this process in my life. This week, I want to share this with you if you don't get nothing else. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You may have to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. You watch TBN, I'm not knocking nobody. Listen to me. You watch TBN, you watch all them preachers on TV's wealth gospel. Listen to me, that's not always the truth. There are some people come to know Jesus Christ and they do get wealthy. They do. They do get wealth. But you listen to me, there's sometimes He might lead you off in the wilderness. You know what? That's when you'll have to trust Him. When you're in the wilderness, you don't know what's out there. You don't know what's going on. You got to trust Him in that wilderness. There's things out there that will kill you. It'll destroy you. And the only way you're going to make it through that wilderness is by trusting your God. And He says this, I want to show you this. And when verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation. Ain't you glad when it will all be over? There'll be no temptation. Oh my goodness gracious. He ended all the temptation. He departed from him for a season. What I love about that, Satan departed, but the Spirit didn't. Folks, tonight, that Spirit, if you're born again tonight, He is your best friend. Do not neglect Him. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Look in verse 14. And Jesus, and you will too, and you will too. Right now you may be feeling like you're on bottom. You may feel like, man, everything's on you. And my wife's favorite words when I'm in the dumps, and it drives me insane. She's listening in the nursery. BJ, I know what's coming out. This too shall pass. I know. This is my pity party. I've only been in it for like 30 minutes and you already want me to come out of it. But you know why? Because she knows if I don't come out in 30, I've been there for 3 hours, 3 days, 30 days, 365 days. And she says, you remember, you rely on that spirit. You trust it. It ain't led us wrong yet. It ain't led us wrong yet. I've told her before. I said, God's told me to do this. What do you think? And here's her response. If he told you, do it. If the Spirit told you, do it. And I'll back you 100%. She'll come to me and she said, the Spirit told me. I say, if the Spirit told you, I'll back you 100%. Folks, tonight as a pastor of this church, I want the Spirit to talk to you and I want him to talk to me. I want to know everybody in this place knows that Spirit. I want to know everybody in this place follows that Spirit. Not your own thinking, your own, but you follow that Spirit. And we trust him as a church. In every aspect of our life, everything he's called us to do, we follow him. And look what he says will happen. Verse 14. And Jesus, if he's living inside of you, amen, it's going to happen to you too. And Jesus, he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Look at verse 18. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. The Spirit of the Lord was on him. This week, here's my prayer. That you stay focused, you stay on path, you stay where you need to be. Let God lead you. Don't you quit going and doing what you need to do. You just keep marching on. Let that Spirit lead you. And my prayer is this, that your week will be blessed beyond measure. That's my prayer. Let the Spirit lead you. Let it. If you'll let the Spirit lead you, you'll be full of joy. But when you start going against that Spirit, that joy will not stay where it needs to be in your life. As a church, I pray we stay where the Spirit would have us to be. Amen. I believe tomorrow, Brother Brian Scott, you may be able to get me on this. Brother Rocky's little collar's going for surgery tomorrow. Not sure. Yes. 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 That's what he's doing. We're fixing to pray for him. I'm not good on calendars right now. They're getting full. We're going to let the Spirit lead us. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I love you and I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for this group of believers. Father, I thank you tonight for the sweet Holy Spirit that's in this place. Lord, I thank you tonight that Brother David was able to stand up and tell about what the church does, where we go and how we help people. What a blessing that is. Father, also tonight, Father God, I thank you for the Awana leaders, Brother Kevin and Sister Kim. Father, I thank you for the kids that's going to be born again throughout this program. It's not going to be a program. We're going to tell them about a person, and his name's Jesus. Lord, I thank you for that tonight. Lord God, I thank you tonight, Father, that Brother J.D. and the youth, as they stood up, oh, man, what joy they brought back inside of them. Father, and it just splashed all over the church, and I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I'm asking you right now, Father God, to wrap your arms around this church, the Christian that might be in here tonight, that may be in a valley, may be in a place in their life that they just need to be set free. I pray tonight would be that night that they'd realize, Father, that you're not against them, but you're for them, Father. Oh, Satan will try to tell us, how I don't know if I should go that way, but the Spirit always leads us right, and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the ones that were saved this week. Lord, I pray as we go throughout our week, Father, we'd be telling somebody about Jesus. Lord, I ask that, and I pray that, and I plead that in the blood of Jesus Christ. Be with this church. Keep a hedge around us, Father. Lord, I pray you keep the Spirit right where it needs to be. Father, I never want to come in this place and not feel what you want us to feel. Lord, I know following you is not all about a feeling. I know that. I know we got to follow you even when we don't feel you. But I sure do thank you that you will touch us. And Lord, I pray tonight, whoever needs a touch, you touch their life. And we ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen. Tonight.